Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church in this Easter season. This morning, we're going to work through the book of Matthew, specifically the scripture verse, Matthew 21:10. And it reads, "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?'" And by way of introduction, the triumphal entry of Jesus marks the beginning of what is known as Holy Week or Passion Week. This is when Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem in what would be his final week of his life on earth. This would be his last major public appearance before he was crucified. And in the gospel account of Matthew, which was written primarily to the Jews, described Jesus as the Messiah and the promised king. A king with an eternal kingdom. A kingdom not of earth, but of heaven. And the triumphal entry, Jesus' visitation into Jerusalem, marked the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy from the prophet Zechariah 500 years earlier. Zechariah 9:9 reads, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." This prophecy indicates the reason and nature for why Jesus came. You know, for only he is the righteous one who offers salvation. Now, the crowd was in anticipation that this king, Jesus, fulfilling this messianic prophecy, was ushering in a new kingdom. Unfortunately, many conclusions have been made about Jesus. So today we're going to look at the triumphal entry. Let us look at the question presented in this sermon text: who is this? So I want to read Matthew's account, starting in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, when Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them." And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, lowly and sitting on a donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set Jesus on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna, son to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" I want to speak about three points of application. First, his visitation when he had come into Jerusalem. Second, all the city was moved. I want to look at some reactions. And third, the question, who is this? First, his visitation when he had come into Jerusalem. Jesus had come into Jerusalem many times before this point. Joseph and Mary, his parents, brought Jesus as a baby to Jerusalem for the first time to be presented at the temple as part of the purification process under the ceremonial law. Jesus had come to take part in many of the Jewish feasts and festivals, such as the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, which commemorates the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, the Feast of Trumpets, the beginning of a new civil year, the Feast of Tabernacles, which commemorates God's deliverance and provision during the wilderness wanderings of Exodus. He also came to Jerusalem to observe the Feast of Dedication, or the Festival of Lights, known as Hanukkah. And on this occasion, Jesus came to observe the Passover, or what is known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. which commemorates God's deliverance of the Israelites out of Egyptian captivity. However, this time, Jesus would ultimately be that Passover lamb, friends, covering our sins with his shed blood on a cross. And even though Jesus' ministry began in Galilee, his ministry was very important in Jerusalem. For this is the holy city of the Jews. The name Jerusalem means city of peace. The land of Israel, the Jewish homeland, is referred to in the Hebrew Bible as Zion. And the daughter of Zion, referenced in that Zechariah prophecy, refers to Jerusalem or the Jewish people. And furthermore, Jerusalem is mentioned in the Bible 821 times. This is more than any other earthly place mentioned in the Bible. Psalm 132, 13 and 14 reads, "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place forever. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it." Our Lord Jesus did many miracles all over the region of Israel, but particularly in Jerusalem, that is where I feel like he received the most persecution, particularly by the Pharisees, for these miracles that he did and for his claim of making himself equal with God. Jesus did a lot of teaching in the temple courts. He also rebuked the Pharisees and called them hypocrites, which did not go well with them. The Apostle John records in chapter 5 when Jesus healed a man who lay by the Bethsaida pool in Jerusalem, and he was crippled for 38 years. And Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man said to him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that was the Sabbath. And for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. So even though Jesus traveled to all these many areas in Israel, Jerusalem was a very important place to the Lord. And when he knew that his time was near, meaning that he knew that he was going to be with the Father, he began to make predictions about his death and his resurrection. Matthew 16:21 reads, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised the third day." Now, Jesus would also fulfill a prophecy made by the prophet Daniel during this specific time period, that the Messiah shall be cut off, meaning that he will be killed. Jerusalem, particularly outside the walls, right outside the walls of Jerusalem, is a place called Golgotha or Calvary. And this is where his redemptive work took place for our souls, friends. So friends, I just wanted to give you a brief history of Jesus' time in Jerusalem and why this place was so important to him as part of the fulfillment of Scripture. So by way of application, what about the history of Jesus making his way into your lives? His day of visitation into your life. Maybe today's his day. This Palm Sunday, Jesus is walking into your heart for the very first time. Question is, will you welcome him and receive him as Lord, as God, as Savior? I would strongly urge you not to hesitate, because our time here is short. We don't know when it's going to end. And if he is not your Savior, then he will ultimately be your condemning judge. Now is the time, friends. Let's look at the second point of application. All the city was moved. Let's look at some of the reactions. You know, Jesus' popularity grew throughout the region. In his ministry of 3+ years, he amazed people through his power over creation, or by wiping out sickness and diseases or disabilities, and even raised people from the dead. Because only Jesus has power over death to do this. And the scripture says that he rose 3 people during his earthly ministry from the dead. He raised the son of a widow of Nain. He raised Jairus' daughter. Jairus was a ruler of a synagogue. But the most notably known throughout the region at that time, and specifically this time, was the death of his friend Lazarus. There was no doubt that Lazarus was dead. And to paraphrase John 11:39, Lazarus was stinking dead 4 days in the tomb. Stinking dead. And people came not only to see Jesus, but Lazarus, whom Jesus made alive. Well, as Jesus was making his way into Jerusalem, people took palm branches and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." You see, palm branches were used as a symbol of victory, rejoicing, celebration. Hosanna is a word that means save now, save now. And the people were rejoicing, for the long-awaited Savior has come. However, what was the reason for their rejoicing? The Jews thought that his coming would free them from the Roman oppression that they were under. Others probably thought that the miracles that Jesus did, such as the feeding of the 5,000 with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, that their struggle to find food is over. Not only can this king protect us, but he can sustain us as well. As a matter of fact, when that miracle happened, the people Jesus fed wanted to make him king right then and there by way of force. But Jesus knew their thoughts and departed to the mountains. John 6:15. His time had not come yet. Friends, so many misdirect the ministry of Jesus to the earthly things or the issues of the day, things of this world, and that ought not to be so. Prosperity preachers use the name of Jesus to help you promote wealth and try to help you attain the finer things in life. Joel Osteen, this is your best life now. No, wrong. When you're in heaven, that's going to be your best life. You know, others hide behind the name of Jesus as a means for fighting social issues, such as racism and discrimination or civil rights. But the main ministry and mission of Jesus is salvation. His mission is for the church to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. His mission is that all lives matter to Jesus, because he doesn't want to see not one soul perish in hell. 1 Timothy 2:4 reads, "Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth?" His reason for coming into Jerusalem this time was to die. If there is anyone who knew about being mistreated or discriminated or mocked for who he is, it's Jesus. And it still happens today. But on this day, many people in the crowd joined in praising Jesus outwardly on the surface. But their false profession would come through days later, calling for Jesus to be crucified. So the people in the city was moved for Jesus, but it didn't last for long. Reminds me of the parable Jesus told of the sower of the seed. "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." Receives it with palm branches. Yet as he has no root in himself, but endures for only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Jesus did something that the Jews surely did not expect. They figured that this anointed king would go to Pontius Pilate and make demands or give warnings. A new king is in town, new sheriff. But he made no such effort. The next day after his triumphal entry, Jesus went right to the temple, to the heart of the city, the busiest spot. Why? Because this is a place of worship. Yet it was being desecrated, used for selling animal sacrifices. People were getting ripped off. Matthew 21:12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Jesus was physically angry and he cleared the temple of God of that filth. He said, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." I can only imagine how Jesus would react today seeing people using his church, his house, as a place for like a bingo hall. I saw that before, down on Hamlin Ave, whatever. God's house is not where people should have their head. God's house is where people should have their heads in their Bibles, not their bingo cards. You know? In the end, Jesus did not attack the Romans like he was expected to, but he attacked his own people, his Jewish brothers, for their evil dealings within the Lord's house. By way of application, people who have a first encounter with Jesus expect him to take away their external problems right away, too. However, he starts with the internal problem within your bodily temple. A heart full of sin, and it needs to be cleansed, it needs to be renewed, it needs to be revived, it needs to be changed. He said in Mark 7:21-23, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. In the 80s, there was this group called Heart. They have a great song. It's called Listen to Your Heart. Well, I just gave you reasons not to listen to your heart. You got to lead your heart, friends. The city was moved by Jesus, praising and glorifying him, but it was only temporary. People loved their sin more than the Lord. And Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I want to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." By way of application, Jesus wants to clear out the filth in your heart. The question is, what way are you moved? Towards Jesus or away? Would you let him clean the filth in your temple? Or would you send him to be crucified? Would you send him away? Jesus will not force his way into your heart, friends. But he is knocking. He is definitely knocking on the doors of your hearts. Revelation 3:20. Will you open the door for Jesus? More importantly, will you open the closet door in the heart full of sins? You know, we saw the initial reaction to Jesus didn't last. But maybe it will until you come to terms as far as who Jesus really is. And that's the third point of our application. The question is still being debated today. There will always be different opinions concerning Jesus. But the Bible states that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. And if you follow the testimony and evidence of the Bible, how do you not consider Jesus as God? The Son of God. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoke to us by his Son, whom he has anointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Just to make it simple, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If anyone hated Jesus the most, it was the Pharisees. Everything Jesus did through his miracles, his teachings, drew power and influence away from them. They went up to Jesus many times and they challenged his divinity. John 5:18 reads, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. It's a hard thing to grasp for many. Even Jesus' disciples questioned. John 14:9, Jesus said to them, have I not been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Friends, God came in the flesh. He's born of a virgin. He dwelt among men. And he lived a sinless life, fulfilled every aspect of the Levitical law perfectly. God is perfect. Again, furthermore, he demonstrated his power over sickness and disabilities, power over creation. And in the final week of what we know as Passion Week, Jesus demonstrated his power over his own death through the resurrection. Has any other person ever done these things? On one occasion, while praying with his disciples, Jesus asked them, saying, who do the crowd say that I am? So the answer said, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. He said to him, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. And I hope you all agree. So as friends, as we draw to a close, looking at this day in our Lord's life, Palm Sunday, his triumphal entry, you know, I pray that you, like the remnant of those people that day, truly welcomed Jesus into your life and that you celebrate him daily through worship and praise him with a loud voice for the mighty work that he has done for your salvation. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, as we look to this glorious day, your triumphal entry, your Son's triumphal entry, Father, we know that this coronation of your Son, it seems superficial at first. You know, the people gave a superficial praise instead of a long-standing praise through their hearts to praise your Son as the Messiah, the long-awaited King, the promised King. Father, we just thank you, Father, for this specific time in your schedule where Jesus came into Jerusalem as King. As King, a King not to be praised, but a King to die, actually. He came to die, and we thank you, Father, for your Son's redemptive work for us. And we do praise you. We praise you with our hearts. We praise you with our souls and minds. And we cannot thank you enough for the redemptive work that you have done through your Son for our souls, to be our Savior. Father, we just want to pray for those who probably are in this crowd today or hearing this message on the internet. We pray for those hearts that maybe curious about Jesus and wonder who he is. But I pray that your word resonates in their hearts and helps them understand who Jesus is, that he is the only one and true Savior to redeem us, that has bought us with his precious blood on that cross. Father God, we want to continue to pray for others too, even the enemies of the Lord. We pray that you work in their hearts in such a way that will draw them to you, that will help them understand where they stand before you in their depravity. We ask you to continue to pray. We ask you to continue to work in their lives, and we pray that you help us all, Father. Help us all continue to praise the Lord, not only on that day or the Easter, special days like Easter or Christmas, but praise him every day. Be bold about sharing the good news and talk about the triumphal entry that Jesus has made into our own hearts. Help us, Father God, be bold and share your word and spread the good news so that we can all one day at your son's true coronation in heaven with palm branches wave and praise and give honor and glory to your son. And we look forward to that day, Father God. All this I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.